Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here again on another awesome Sunday night, and this is the Gift of Grace where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So I hope you've had an awesome week. We're in a time of year now, a season called Advent, preparing for the birth of Messiah, commemorating when the God-man came into the world literally as divinity and as a human man. And as Paul says in Galatians, he was born of a woman born under the law. And this is what we are celebrating, commemorating and celebrating, coming up very shortly on a day that's called Christmas from very ancient times, derived from the term Christ Mass. And it's also called the Nativity. And again, I always like to add, we don't know exactly when he was born. It probably was not December 25th, but we're not going to get into that now because that's a kind of a fruitless debate, because we're never going to know for sure until we get to heaven, and he may tell us when he was born, but whatever day it was, the important thing is that he was born so that he could go to the cross and so that we could be saved. It wasn't, oh good, another great teacher, another great philosopher has come into the world, but it was because of what he was going to do in order to pay for our sin. So in that sense, we commemorate his birth because it led to salvation in basically 33 years from then, after the people had been waiting for a redeemer for all of their history, and actually going back to the book of Genesis. No one, of course, knows how long that was, but that's how long they had been waiting. And so tonight we're going to talk about an interesting concept. It's called the messenger. If you're familiar with the book of Isaiah, and if you're not, I would just strongly recommend that you get used to it, that you study the chapters that have to do with the Messiah coming, how he's going to come, what he's going to do, what are the signs of his coming. There is so much in Isaiah about this. And Isaiah has everything in it, from sin and judgment to a Messiah coming, to the Messiah suffering, to the Messiah being triumphant, to Gentiles coming into the kingdom. And although there are 66 chapters, I strongly encourage you to sit and read at least the most important chapters, which are almost all of them. But anyway, I do that for every session that I teach, because if you don't get into it and read it, it's not going to come into your mind by osmosis or by some kind of diffusion. You have to actually read it and contemplate it and study it and pray about it. So, all that to say, Isaiah predicts that a messenger will come, that someone will come before the Messiah and make a highway for him, make a highway to our God, level the mountains, fill the valleys, and someone will come and announce that he's coming. So, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And of course, this is fulfilled by John the Baptist. This is fulfilled by John the Baptist. And what we're going to do is go to Matthew chapter 3. I'll give you a second to flip there or click on it or whatever you have to do. But Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 through 12, Matthew writes, we're going to do all 12, but, well, actually, maybe we will. But anyway, Matthew 3 starts out with, "In those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'A voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" So John the Baptist in the wilderness of Judea. If you've been to Israel and you've been to the eastern part of the city, or you've looked out at it from the top of the Mount of Olives or the top of the Temple Mount, if you want to venture up there, which my wife and I have done a few times, but certainly from the Mount of Olives looking eastward, you see this vast desert. And then when you get in your car and start to drive through it on Highway 1, it is, I hate to use the word desolate, but it is a desert. It is amazing. It's the lowest place on earth. There is no water. There's sand. There's mountains. And it's referred to as the wilderness. And the Jordan, if you go east, probably a half hour drive, you get to the Jordan River at the point where it empties into the Dead Sea. The Jordan in this wilderness is where John the Baptist begins to preach. And he quotes from the prophet Isaiah. And it says, "In those days," which means the fullness of time had come. The kingdom was at hand. The gospel was about to be proclaimed. This long-awaited Messiah was not only coming very soon, he was, in fact, already there. And it begins with John the Baptist preaching in this wilderness. Now, this is amazing because although Jesus, of course, has already been born and he's already an adult man while this is happening, it's interesting that the proclamation of the kingdom, the proclamation of the gospel, begins with John the Baptist, a character, a man who spans the Old Testament and New Testament. He's in the New Testament, but he's an Old Testament type of figure. He looks like Elijah. He wears uncomfortable, weird clothes. His hair's a mess. He eats weird stuff. And he proclaims the kingdom. And just like the Old Covenant was proclaimed in the wilderness of the Sinai, the New Covenant's proclaimed in the wilderness of Judea. But he says, the kingdom is at hand. And we know that Jesus, his birth was foretold. Many details of his birth were foretold by Isaiah. He was obscure up until this point. We know very little about him. He was concealed from everyone, except perhaps Mary and Joseph. Maybe he shared with them what was happening, but not with anyone else, and not even written down by the evangelists so that we could know what he was saying and doing during those years. But he was in obscurity. In obscurity. And John the Baptist is the messenger that Isaiah talks about in chapter 40. He talks about this in Isaiah chapter 40, starting at verse 3, about a messenger crying out, a herald crying out. Now, there had been no prophets. This is really, people don't realize this. There had been no prophets to the Israelites for 400 years. Malachi was the last prophet. He wrote in about 400 B.C. If you open your Bible And if you have a Christian Bible, regardless of the translation, Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. In the Jewish Hebrew Bible, that's not true, but he's the last prophet. There hadn't been a prophet. There was silence for 400 years. This was called the time of silence. God had not communicated with anyone for 400 years. And then John the Baptist comes. Now, you remember his father had been struck dumb by the angel Gabriel. Couldn't speak until John was circumcised and named on the eighth day. But John is crying out in the wilderness. The Greek words that are used there mean that has a shrill, penetrating voice. So the son of this man who was dumb has this shrill, penetrating voice that goes through the whole wilderness. People come from all over, including Jerusalem, to hear what he has to say. And since we're talking about Malachi, there's a passage that I've never heard read in a church. I'm sure that they'll send me emails, say, yes, we read it, but I don't know. But in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming." So Malachi says there's going to be a messenger as well, 400 years before. In fact, they questioned Jesus about this at one point, but I don't want to get sidetracked now. So in this history, in this desolate wilderness, the history of salvation comes to a head. Everything in the plan has been pointing for this. John is preaching to common people first. He's not in Jerusalem. He's not checking with the religious leaders to make sure he's allowed to speak. He didn't go and get a license or a certificate or a permit. He was a Nazarite, and I'm not going to talk about that, but I refer you to the book of Numbers. It describes what a Nazarite is. He was in the wilderness preaching, not in Jerusalem. And people he was preaching to knew the prophecies. They knew they had been waiting a long time for a Messiah. They knew the prophecies. Some of them thought that John the Baptist might be the Christ. They even asked him. People from Jerusalem come and say, "Are you the Christ? Are you the prophet?" Capital P. I send you to Deuteronomy 18 for that. And he says, "No, I'm none of these things. I'm a voice crying out in the wilderness." He quotes again from Isaiah and points out that repentance is the way into the kingdom. Jesus will preach this, teach this in the very near future. Remember, John the Baptist is probably about 6 months older than Jesus. And of course, they're related. Elizabeth, his mother, is called Mary's kinswoman or cousin, but they are related. And Jesus will point out that repentance is the way to the kingdom. Repent because the kingdom is at hand. And all these religious leaders say, "Oh, we're children of Abraham." And both John the Baptist and Jesus say, "Well, that's real nice. But if Abraham was your father, you'd be doing Abraham things. What you need to do is repent because you're a mess." The New Testament calls this metanoia, a change of mind, a change of direction. This is different from the law, capital L. The law of Moses cannot do this. All the law of the old covenant cannot do this because we are incapable of dealing with that law. As Paul points out in Romans, the law was given so that we would see sin, so we would understand the situation that we're in. We realize that we're rebelling. We realize that we're sinners. And so we know where we stand. And so when Isaiah says the way is going to be made, the highway is going to be made, a path is going to be made straight, we know where we have to go in order to be relieved from this. We know that we have to go to him, the one who was promised back in Genesis 3:15. You can read that for your homework. It's very short. The Pharisees didn't understand this. They were well-dressed. They knew all about the scriptures. They felt that they were following the law. They felt like they were superior, certainly to the people in the Galilee, certainly people like John the Baptist, who frankly looked like a mess. They were dressed very well. They were following the law. They had no need for repentance. They were doing great. And John tells them, if you don't bear fruit, the tree's going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. So he says, the only way around this is to repent and be baptized. Now, this was not exactly Christian baptism John was doing. This was called a baptism of repentance. It came from the mikvah, the ceremonial washing bath. We're not going to get into that. I'm sure if you look on my podcast and YouTube channels, there's a lot of teachings about that. But the kingdom was at hand. It was time to repent. It was time to be baptized. Peter repeats this on Pentecost morning when his audience says, what are we to do, brothers? And Peter says, repent and be baptized because the kingdom is coming. We're now going into grace rather than law. You can be saved even though you have violated the law. You can be saved even if you're violating laws as you go through your life. There is a straight path to him. This is what Isaiah was talking about. This is what John the Baptist quoted. This is why he quoted it. He's crying it out in a loud, startling voice. He's awakening people. He's drawing attention to what he's saying. He doesn't want people to be distracted by all kinds of side issues. You know, in a church, every church, there's a lot of side issues. But the straight path is the only issue that matters. Going to him, capital H, is the only thing that matters. That's above the distractions. And boy, we need this same kind of approach that John the Baptist did then, right now. Because at that time, the people were in a deep sleep. The time we're living in, the people are in a deep sleep. Oh, sure, they go to church, but they're in a deep sleep. Well, when I say they go to church, much smaller percentage than even 10 or 20 years ago. But anyway. But Isaiah talks about there's people in darkness. And they're going to hear this messenger. The light is going to come. If you read Isaiah 9 and Isaiah 11, the light is going to come and shine into the darkness. Shine into the gloom. And these prophecies, of course, were all fulfilled when Messiah lived and preached and taught in Galilee. It's really quite amazing. And I say, well, a little description of John in verse 4. Now, John himself was clothed in camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the regions around the Jordan went out to see him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. So he wasn't clothed like one of the Pharisees. He wasn't clothed like some royal messenger that was coming. He was a Nazarite. You can go back and read in number 6, I don't want to get into that now. He was consecrated to the Lord, and Nazarites would never cut their hair or their beard, would not eat anything that came from a grape, and spent most of their time in the wilderness praying and teaching and studying. And so this baptism of repentance he talks about is a sign that the kingdom is coming. You confess your sins, you repent, and then you are baptized. This is carried over to Christian baptism in a pretty complete manner, pretty full manner. But it isn't Christian baptism quite yet, but it will be shortly, and it has evolved from the mikvah. So it's a change in your life happens. It's metanoia. An observant Jew like Jesus would have gone through the mikvah when he had a change of status of his life, like any observant Jew would do. He did not have to go through mikvah to purify himself or to cleanse himself or to make himself ritualistically clean, of course. But when he went, he had a change in status. He was going from being a carpenter to being a rabbi. So he had John baptize him in the Jordan. That was, in fact, a mikvah. So repentance was bringing something new, and this was the new covenant. At this point, the kingdom is breaking in. It says, if you come to him, if you take the highway, if you lower the mountains, you fill the valleys, whatever obstacles there are, you remove the obstacles and you go to him and you get grace. This is different than the law. This is salvation by faith through grace, or grace through faith. So he's making a very strong statement here. Verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance." He's not afraid to confront the leaders. Our church leaders are afraid to confront the government. Our church leaders are afraid to make people upset. John had no problem confronting the leaders of the church, in quotation marks, of his day, the top officials, the top of the leadership. These weren't like some low-level rabbis from somewhere. These were the Pharisees. They were used to titles of honor everywhere they went. And now John the Baptist calls them a brood of vipers. He calls them a bunch of poisonous snakes. You guys may look good and you guys know a lot of stuff, but you don't even understand what's going on here. And that's what matters. You're the leader of whatever church you go to may look nice and talk nice. You may not even understand what's going on there. And of course, their defense was, hey, you know what? We're children of Abraham. And John, and later Jesus, says, well, that's really nice. But if God wants to, he could raise up children to Abraham from the stones. What they're saying to him is, hey, we're not some unclean Gentiles. We're related to Abraham. He says, well, great. Then repent and bear fruit. Bearing fruit is a sign of your repentance. It's a sign of your repentance. And of course, James in his letter says, faith without works is dead. That's commonly debated, but it's true. And so this messenger who comes is preaching to the common people, showing them where the way is, but he's also warning the religious leaders that just because you guys have diplomas and you have whatever certificates you got from whatever yeshiva you went to, something different is happening now, and you have to repent. You think you're keeping the law perfectly? Well, I got news for you. You're not. You need to repent. You need to be baptized. And you need to understand where you stand before God in this whole structure. And so he attacks their pride in a fearless way. Oh, I know the music has just started playing. Well, anyway, so that brings us to the end of the messenger. But thanks for tuning in. And as we get close to Christmas, we're going to have certainly a Christmas show, I guess, next Sunday night. So tune into the Gift of Grace, and we'll read and teach God's word and proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Have an awesome week.